Men John, de här fakturorna, har du koll på dem eller?
Att ha alla fakturor i en enda röra, det är inte Telia.
Oj, vad många.
Att göra det lätt att driva företag, det är Telia. Läs mer om fördelarna med att samla IT, bredband och mobilt hos en leverantör på telia.se/företag.
På Sveriges största jackpot-casino går Hypermiljonen på högvarv. Från Malmö i söder till Kiruna i norr har Hypermiljonen genererat över 130 miljoner exklusivt till våra spelare. Välkommen in till Sveriges största jackpot-casino, hyper.com. 18 plus, regler och villkor gäller.
CSRD, ännu en förkortning som väcker känslor hos företagare. Men lugn, våra rådgivare här på PwC har koll på det som din verksamhet berörs av. Från hållbarhetslösningar och nya regelverk till affärsutveckling och ansvarsfulla AI-strategier. Välkommen till PwC.
What happens for nuclear reactors, if I can take a parallel, is the same as with a car. If you ask Volvo to design a new car, the first car will be costly, will be going over budget, and will be going over schedule. I wish the Swedish Greens were as progressive and as forward-looking as the Finnish Greens, because in Finland, the Greens are pro-nuclear. I'm just stating the facts. If you do your homework and you check the facts, the reality is nuclear energy has the lowest cost of electricity. I'm going to be crystal clear. There is no human construction or infrastructure that can withstand a war. It doesn't exist.
Från att ha beskrivits som farlig, dyr och ålderstigen är kärnkraften åter i den politiska värmen. Sverige ska bli en ledande kärnkraftnation igen, lovar regeringen, och även inom miljörörelsen höjs röster för att vägen bort från kol, olja och gas inte bara kan gå via sol och vind. Som vd för ett av världens största kärnkraftsföretag har Patrick Fragman upplevt den radikala omsvängningen från första parkett. Hur ser han på Tidö-regeringens plan på nya reaktorer i drift redan om 11 år? Kan han lova att projekten om Westinghouse för uppdraget inte drar ut på tiden och blir mycket dyrare än tänkt? Och hur ser han på risken att politiken och opinionen plötsligt svänger igen? Från att börja acceptera kärnkraft som en del av klimatlösningen till nya krav på nedstängningar och förbud. Du lyssnar på Fredagsintervjun. Jag heter Magnus Thorén. Patrick Fragman, welcome to Kvartals Fredagsintervjun.
God morgon.
As the head of Westinghouse, you're basically selling and constructing nuclear plants. Is that an icebreaker at dinner parties when someone asks you what you do for a living? Or is it something you try to avoid talking too much about?
Times have changed. So right now, it's definitely a topic of interest to many who are discovering, or I should say rediscovering, the virtues of nuclear energy. There is no one single solution to some of the challenges that we have today on the energy front, but definitely there is a vast and growing majority of people who now believe nuclear is part of those solutions that will contribute to solving those challenges, whether you talk about decarbonization, energy security, stability of energy prices, or obviously promoting economic development as well.
Mm. So today you don't end up in a lot of heated discussions like you did before?
There are always heated discussions, but there is also a work of education to be done. And that's why also I'm happy to be in Sweden, which in some of those areas is also leading the way. For instance, the areas of waste management. Lots of people continue to have questions about, for instance, what happens with waste. And this is where the conversation becomes interesting, because there are technology solutions and countries like Finland or Sweden are showing how to implement those solutions. It's more of political willingness in many countries to not necessarily always implement those solutions with the right speed.
Mm. How would you describe the feelings around nuclear energy today in the West compared to, let's say, 5 years ago?
5 years ago, there was the feeling that nuclear energy was a form of the past. The nuclear plants were operating in the background and nobody was talking about them. Very few countries were talking about new programs for rebuilding new plants. And there was a more or less a consensus in many countries, including Sweden, by the way, to shut down the existing plants in the short term. Times have changed, circumstances have changed, and people rediscover that nuclear plants are an asset, not only the new plants, but also the existing plants. And these are assets that you can continue to operate for decades in a safe manner so that they continue to provide clean electricity. In some cases, it's a mix of also clean electricity and heat, steam for district heating, for instance, for many decades in the right way.
Mm. From where does this shift come from?
I think this shift, it's hard to pinpoint a date, but definitely when the conversation started to shift from where do we want to be by 2050, net carbon zero, all these very nice concepts and messages that nobody really didn't care about because it was in 2050, when it shifts to, oh, by the way, how are we going to get there? When it shifts to the what, to the how, this is where you see that nuclear energy is unavoidable. You need a big component of nuclear energy in your energy mix in many, many countries. And so that's where I think the politicians started to realize, this is where the communication also started to hit the mainstream, that nuclear energy was part of the solution to help us solve some of our biggest problems. And after that, everything unwind. It would be fair to say that the start of the war in Ukraine has also triggered a renewed interest into energy security. People had forgotten that energy security was the other side of the coin of an energy system, and that nuclear energy on energy security grounds as well was also a big contributor. So it's a combination of factors that at the end make it quite an interesting conversation.
Mm. So politicians in general, more positive. What about the public opinion? There, a lot of people are still skeptical, right?
Yes and no. When you look at the facts, you have, if you look at Western Europe, for instance, in most of the countries, including in Germany, I repeat, including in Germany, you start having a vast and growing majority of people who are in favor of keeping the nuclear energy option or restarting new build of new reactors. So the case of Sweden is not isolated. It's a vast movement across many countries, which are effectively gradually more and more supportive of nuclear energy as a key component. And that's, again, a majority, including in countries like Germany.
Mm. And in Germany, we have this Energiewende, mm-hmm. that it's called, and they're going to get rid of all the nuclear plants.
It's already done. They shut down the last plant a few months ago. And mm. even though it's not the majority of what the Germans wanted, but since the coalition in power today in Berlin, the red, orange, and green coalition had this as part of their platform. Let's put it that way: it was virtually impossible for them to cut the Gordian knot and to find an agreement on keeping the plants open. Even though, to be fair, when you had informal discussions with them, they all agreed, including on the green side, that it did make sense to keep the nuclear plants open.
And you in Westinghouse, you're of course working on it to get up a new one.
we are helping effectively a certain number of countries to build up their capabilities. The countries don't always have the same type of needs or strategies. Some countries want large reactors. Some countries want smaller reactors. We have a fairly large portfolio that allows us to meet different needs, and we're trying to propose obviously those solutions as part of how those countries can implement their ambitions.
One of the world's most famous climate activists is Greta Thunberg, as you probably know. Mm-hmm. She and her movement is very much into solar and wind, not so much nuclear. Why is that?
I think, first, it's a fact that renewable are and will continue to be a big and growing component of the future energy system. So the topic is not nuclear against renewable. The topic is, how do you decarbonize and how do you remove the fossils from the energy systems? Today, in the vast majority of the countries, except the few countries like Norway who have a lot of hydro, when you build renewable, you have to build gas plants. because unfortunately the wind blows only 20-25% of the time, and the sun only shines enough to produce electricity about the same, if not even a little bit less of the time. So what you do the rest of the time? You have several options. The first one is to tell the people, well, don't take a shower or don't look at your TV 80% of the time. It's not going to be very popular. The other one is to find other energy sources to balance the renewable. So far, to be crystal clear, gas and coal are doing the majority of the work. But as you think, how do we get to 2050 net carbon neutral? Gas and coal are out of that picture. So how do you get there? If you don't have large hydro, the only solution is nuclear. That's why the future energy systems are going to be effectively a combination of renewable, nuclear, and piece of storage. Storage which can take the form of hydro. Hydro is an excellent storage, and Sweden has some good capacities in hydro.
We have some up north, yes.
But the reality is, like Sweden, like many hydro countries, doesn't have a very big potential for increasing that capacity. All the large sites are already largely equipped. Mm.
The ones we have still, we want to protect.
Yes, and you can incrementally optimize, but it's going to be incremental. The problem is that the electricity consumption in Sweden is going to double in the next decade. So you need more than the incremental increase.
Some people speak about hydrogen as a part of the solution. You can turn wind power into hydrogen and then you get energy.
So again, why not? But it's going to be the wind power is going to work 20% of the time or 25% of the time if you're lucky and you have a very large offshore wind farm. And solar, it's going to be 15, 16, 17% of the time, not more than that. So even if you go to hydrogen, the best way to produce in a clean way hydrogen is you put an electrolyzer on the steam path of a nuclear plant. Because the other way today to produce hydrogen is from fossils. Usually they use methanol, which is a chemical compound which you produce from methane, from natural gas. And from there, you can effectively synthesize hydrogen. Mm. This is not a very clean way. It's a very cumbersome, very polluting, and energy-intensive process. So here again, hydrogen can contribute, and nuclear energy can contribute also to the production of hydrogen, having in mind that hydrogen will be or is intended to be one of the fuel of choices in transportation.
Mm. You've, of course, heard about the green steel in the northern Sweden. Mm-hmm. We are speaking about a lot of wind power to fuel that, so to say. Are you skeptical that that is going to work without new nuclear?
I don't have enough specifics about the wind projects themselves. I would just observe that wherever you put your wind farms, you will not have a 95% capacity factor. You will not have them producing electricity 95% or 100% of the time. So you need another source to balance that. And energy storage today, lithium-ion energy storage, is A, environmentally a nightmare, B, extremely costly, and it's not at scale of the demand. So nuclear energy, again, will be, for many countries, and Sweden is one of them, the only possible option. If you have those big ambitions in renewable, you will need another source of clean power to balance the renewable.
Mm. We spoke about Greta Thunberg and the climate activists. In the EU, would you say that Fridays for Future and Greta Thunberg has had an impact on the policies on energy?
What I would observe is in the EU, the winds are changing at high speed as well, favoring nuclear energy. You might have seen that the taxonomy that was adopted by the European Union 2 years ago had made it clear that that nuclear power was to be considered clean. There was an inventory of clean power technologies that was released only a few days ago that included nuclear power. So that would have been unthinkable 3 or 4 years ago. So also, it's a general movement at the European Union. And you see it also in the posture of different countries. Years ago, you had a very large club of countries that were fiercely against nuclear. This club has drastically shrunk and will continue to shrink because the facts are stubborn. The realities are stubborn and beyond the politics. So Belgium, which a few years ago was saying, oh, we will shut down all our reactors. Now they are saying we will keep at least 2 reactors open for a long time because we need them. Because without them,
We simply don't know how to stabilize our system. We don't know how to decarbonize. We don't know how to maintain electricity prices at a low level, and so on and so forth. Mm. So reality brings people back to more rational type of thinking. Mm.
But speaking about the public opinion, if we take first Harrisburg, Chernobyl, of course, and the most important accident maybe Fukushima in Japan in 2011, it scared a lot of people. Can you understand that?
I completely understand that. And nuclear safety remains the number one line on any work that you do when you operate a plant, when you maintain a plant, when you do any sort of work on an operating plant, or when you design a new reactor. But let's go back to the facts again. Fukushima, in the collective mindset, is a nuclear accident, and there was effectively a meltdown, a partial meltdown inside the reactor. The reality is the amount of radioactive material that was released outside of the plant was minimal. The reality is nobody, I repeat, nobody died because of that release. 20,000 people died because of the tsunami. But in the collective mindset, it's a nuclear accident. But I repeat, nobody died because of the nuclear accident. Mm. Everything was contained because those nuclear plants are over-engineered to make sure that even when there is an incident inside the nuclear island, it is things are contained in such a way that the impact on the environment is effectively released. And that's also the beauty of the new reactors. The new reactors continue that type of lineage and effectively also embed all the lessons learned from those incidents. So A, nuclear safety remains important. I'm not going to tell you something different. It remains essential to the long-term viability of nuclear energy. There is so much controls and over-engineering in the way nuclear plants are designed and are intended to operate and maintain that's why when you look at the facts, the nuclear energy is by far the safest source of producing energy in the world, even beyond renewables, ahead of renewables. There are more fatalities because of renewables than if you had one fatality in the world because of a nuclear plant.
It would be
the headline of newspaper.
How do you know that?
Because
renewables are causing more deaths.
Because all of this is compiled. You have, for instance, people who die when they are doing the installation of wind turbines or doing the operation and maintenance of wind turbines or during the fabrication of that. All of this is compiled. If you had one single death because of nuclear energy, it would be the headline of the newspapers.
I guess you're right.
And it's not.
Upptäck det vackra ljudet av McCrispy & Company för endast 89 kronor. En riktigt krispig upplevelse. För ett ännu godare McDonald's.
Men John, de här fakturorna, har du koll på dem eller?
Att ha alla fakturor i en enda röra, det är inte Telia.
Oj, vad många.
Att göra det lätt att driva företag, det är Telia. Läs mer om fördelar med att samla IT, bredband och mobilt hos en leverantör på telia.se/företag.
Hej, Susanne Axel här. När du gör som jag och listar dig på en av Krys vårdcentraler får du en fast läkarkontakt som kan din sjukdomshistoria. Du får träffa erfarna specialister, tillgång till lättakuten och så kan du chatta med vårdpersonalen. Så gör ditt viktigaste val idag. Lista dig hos Kry.
As I said, as you, of course, also are aware of, Sweden is about to press the start button for a massive rollout of new plants and or reactors. And this is what it sounded like on a press conference earlier in November.
Idag tar Sverige ännu ett steg för ny kärnkraft. Ännu ett steg mot att bli en maktfaktor för den gröna omställningen i väst. Ännu ett steg för att bli en stark kärnkraftsnation igen.
Mm. We heard Ebba Busch. She's in the government and she basically said now we're gonna take a new step when it comes to nuclear in Sweden. I guess Westinghouse, your company, wants to build these reactors, right?
So Westinghouse, first we are around all the nuclear cycle
in general. We are present in Sweden since the 1950s, as you know, because we are the heirs of the Asea-Atom. So we have in particular a nuclear fuel plant. We have lots of engineers. We have lots of activities also supporting the operation and maintenance of the existing plant. Yes, we have also a portfolio of new reactors and new technologies for new build, from the large AP1000 to mid-size AP300. And we even have a micro reactor called eVinci, which is a transportable.
Mm. Is that a SMR that you call
it? So or? The SMR AP300 is indeed also proposed to many customers around the world and has also already raised many interests.
Mm. Is that why you are in Sweden right now to try to get some contracts on building reactors?
So first, I mean, you're right to position it this way, but I'd like just to make a modification. Yes, it translates into contracts, but at the end of the day, it's a relationship. When you are in the nuclear business, you basically get married with your customer for a century. When you build a plant, right now, for instance, the AP1000, we are already supplying some of the AP1000 around the world. I always say we get married with our customers for a century because you have the phase of design and construction, and then you have 80 years plus of operation and maintenance. So it gives another long-term vision to the relationship.
It's not just about a business opportunity
not,
and
yeah,
then you're
it's
gone.
It's not we sign a All contract right. and then we shake hands and see you next time you have a pizza to buy. That's not the way it works. And that proximity to the customers is going through all the phases, because in some cases you go through cycles where, for instance, political winds are not always in favor of nuclear energy. Sometimes political winds are very much in favor. We are by structure very committed when we start engaging with customers. We built in this country quite a few power plants, and we remain committed even at times when nuclear energy was not so popular in Sweden. And so that's the statement I'd like to make on this topic of contracts.
All
so
right.
Yes, we're interested also to help Sweden to write another page of the nuclear industry in this country, and we believe we have the technologies which are the most promising for that.
What kind of reactors would you suggest for Sweden? What kind of plants?
So the beauty of the SMR that we have designed is it's in fact the same design and same architecture as our large reactor, which is already in operation.
And we should just say for the listeners that SMR, it's a small modular reactor, a small kind
but
of
when
new.
We say small, it's still a fairly big animal because it's 300 megawatt electrical.
Okay.
So it's still a third of a normal large plant. And so that's still an object which is several tens
huge.
Of meters high and,
yeah.
and fairly large. So this is a derivative of the large reactor. And the benefits it has is it basically helps to have all the heritage in terms of licensing. In terms of supply chain, the design is already largely advanced. And we already have the operational data because this reactor already operates. We have already five of them in operation in the world. And at the end of the decade, we will have 12 of them. And we already know how it operates. It operates exceptionally, which means if you want to fulfill a certain number of objectives, which are A, decarbonizing, B, having cheap electricity 24/7 as a backbone of your energy system so that the renewables can vary around it. And C, have energy security at the same time, especially since we have a fuel plant in Sweden here. It's the perfect combination for Sweden. And that would be the case whether Sweden wants to go the route of an SMR with the AP300 or wants to go to a larger reactor with the advanced technology of the AP1000, which is already in operation around the world. And it's the only advanced reactor already in operation around the world with passive safety.
We also heard Ebba Busch here. She stated that Sweden wants to be a leader in nuclear technology again. Is that possible?
It is possible if after this statement of ambition, we get quickly from the message into actions. And actions means decisions. Decision on the selection of the technology, on starting to implement things and so on. Our technology, whether you talk SMR or large reactor, is so mature that you could probably start taking very meaningful steps before 2026. in the form of, for instance, site opening or starting to effectively have a basis of design that is ready for the build-up, which frankly very few players in the world have. So if you're looking for a technology which is already matured, so you don't want to take the risk of developing a new technology, you want a technology which already has a supply chain and you have competencies to design and build it. And C, you want a reactor which is economical, which brings you a cost of electricity which is very competitive. Definitely Westinghouse is the perfect solution.
And to get it up and running to 2035, is it possible?
If the actions is being put in motion now, yes, it is possible. And it's possible also because Sweden being already a nuclear country, we don't start from scratch. And I'm going to take another example, which is, as you may know, we have contracted with Poland. Poland is not a nuclear country. And we already have started and initiated the first steps, and we're already fairly advanced with the first site in particular. And the first unit is planned to be online before 2035. So if a non-nuclear country like Poland can do it, I would expect a nuclear country like Sweden to do it.
What we learned from Finland with their latest reactor is that it always has major delays and it's costing much more than anticipated from start. Isn't that the way it's going to be this time as well?
So what you have
isn't that the way it always turns out with nuclear plants?
So it always turns out to be this for what we call the first of a kind. The first of a kind is the start of the series. And what happens for nuclear reactors, if I can take a parallel, is the same as with a car. If you ask Volvo to design a new car, the first car will be costly, will be going over budget, and will be going over schedule. And that's normal, especially if Volvo hasn't built a car for 30 years. But after that, as you get a fleet, you could get down the learning curve and you can see effectively the cost and the schedule going down. The four units we built in China, between unit number one and unit number three, we already reduced the schedule and the cost by double digit. So that gives you an idea that of the economies of scale that we can effectively try.
So that we shouldn't worry about major delays or major
costs. With Westinghouse technology, the beauty is this unit has already been in first of a kind. We already did that in the US. In the US, we went through the project that had cost overruns and so on. Because the design was not finalized at the time. Now the design is stable. The design is done. When we propose this technology to Sweden, all the lessons learned from the first construction are already there.
For decades, practically no one, or at least very few in Sweden, did research or educated themselves in this field. How much knowledge is gone?
You're a little bit rough. You're tough. Because they were, I mean...
Practically, it was not much happening in the universities.
It's not because you don't see it that doesn't happen.
All right.
I think it would be fair to say that the nuclear industry maintained lots of competencies and Westinghouse was part of that.
That's not the general picture in Sweden.
No, it might not, again, it's not. It might not have been visible, but it was existing. It just was not visible because...
Undercover?
No, it was not undercover. It was not fashionable. And no. You don't, when it's not fashionable, unfortunately, the media filter is such, and I'm not going to teach you this, made visible. Mm. That's the reality is that Sweden maintained lots of competencies, not only with Westinghouse, but also on the Vattenfall side, also with the operators. I mean, take Uniper and all the other operators who are present on the market, and also other suppliers and other companies.
So we are not that much behind.
So you're not that much behind. And again, Sweden is a recognized nuclear country. You have a regulator, you have an organization, you have a legal system, you have an industry, you have competencies to design, build, operate nuclear components and nuclear plants. So you have already a very good foundation. The reality is Sweden hasn't built for decades. And the longer you wait, the longer, the more painful it will be.
As you mentioned before, Westinghouse is actually behind some of our existing plants in Sweden. And Westinghouse bought ABB Atom 23 years ago, I think, the former ASEA Atom, that built the others.
Yes.
So you have practically built them all?
Yes.
In Sweden?
Yes.
Is that an advantage now when we build new ones?
I don't think it's a direct advantage in the sense that the new technologies are radically different. from the ones that we have built in the past. They have taken a certain number of evolutions, in particular in terms of how those plants adapt to the future energy systems. But they are an advantage in the sense that we are already massively engaged and committed to Sweden. We already have more than 1,000 people, permanent employees in the engineering, fuel manufacturing, and so on, who work not only for Sweden, but also from Sweden.
Mm. Mostly investors, right?
Mostly investors, but not only. We have 4 centers in Sweden. So, for instance, lots of the fuel which is manufactured for many plants in Central and Eastern Europe, including Ukraine, are manufactured from Västerås. So there are lots of competencies in Sweden, not only in Westinghouse, but also beyond Westinghouse, that you can definitely use also as
a foundation. Okay, so I was a bit rough there.
You were rough. Yes, you were.
Miljöpartiet, the Swedish Green Party, is opposed to new reactors. And their new leader, Daniel Heldén, he was asked in a radio interview a few weeks ago if he can support a government that is behind a rollout of new plants. And he basically said that's really no problem because they just won't be built. We'll listen to that.
Det kommer inte bli någon ny kärnkraft. Jag tror att Vattenfall möjligtvis kommer sätta igång och sätta spaden i marken för anläggningar. Men jag tror aldrig det kommer startas några reaktorer. Därför att det som händer nu på det förnybara området när det gäller vind och solkraft är så enormt. Och regeringen har ju i debatter efter debatt sagt att kärnkraften är hela lösningen. Men den är ju inte det. Och det är det som är så tydligt när man pratar med näringslivet och man pratar med forskarna om vad som behövs för någonting.
You want to comment it directly or you want a translation?
So, you're a bit tough with me because I can't comment on the Swedish language.
Daniel Hildén, he basically said maybe state-owned Vattenfall starts building a reactor, but it is simply too expensive. It can't compete with the rapid development of wind and solar. And in the end, the industry in Sweden doesn't really want it.
Okay, so there are several. Let's unpack this.
Här avbryter vi intervjun för dig som ännu inte tecknat en prenumeration på Kvartal. Om du vill höra Patrick Fragmans svar när det gäller Miljöpartiets språkrör Daniel Heldéns uttalande om kärnkraften, går du in på kvartal.se och skaffa en prenumeration, för då får du tillgång till alla artiklar och poddar, såklart helt reklamfritt.
Du har 86 missade samtal. Senaste samtalet togs emot.
Att missa typ 1000 kundsamtal, det är inte Telia. Att ha en molnbaserad växel som löser allt, det är Telia. Upptäck Smart Connect som gör ditt företagande enklare. Läs mer på telia.se/företag.
Upptäck det vackra ljudet av McCrispy & Company för endast 89 kronor. En riktigt krispig upplevelse. För ett ännu godare McDonald's.
Hej, Susanne Axel här. När du gör som jag och listar dig på en av Krys vårdcentraler får du en fast läkarkontakt som kan din sjukdomshistoria. Du får träffa erfarna specialister, tillgång till lättakuten och så kan du chatta med vårdpersonalen. Så gör ditt viktigaste val idag. Listar dig hos Kry.